Christ alone of this service with the music where we're going. We're all talking about the power, and there is power in knowing who you are, who you are. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So we're starting off the new year. Anybody know what 2017 is going to bring? Yeah. I did ask the question, does anybody know? So Chris, that is the right answer. Yeah, God knows. I don't, you don't, but God does. But in the midst of not knowing what's going to come, it really is good to know who you are in the midst of it. It really makes a huge difference. Wouldn't it be good if you were a direct relative of, say, Bill Gates? Wouldn't it be pretty good to know that fact? Because at some point in time, it could make a very big difference when they, you know, as far as inheritance and those types of things. Knowing who you are can make a big difference. Even being knowing that you're, say, an American citizen. Say something happened and you mistaken identity and you got arrested in another country. Would it matter whether or not you said that you're an American citizen? I guess it depends on the country, but it really does, because all of a sudden, when you say, I'm an American citizen, now they're not just dealing with you, they're dealing with America. Okay, it makes quite a bit of difference knowing who you are. And as you can see on my thing, fingerprints, it's a part of that. It's one of the ways we kind of identify ourselves. Fingerprints are unique. It's one of those amazing things about the human body. Why do we all have unique and different fingerprints? That's a God question one day. Why did he even bother to put individual unique fingerprints? Some people have loops on their fingerprints. Some people have curves, and some people have swirls. What do you have? How many people have loops? Let me see how many loops we got. Raise your hand. Is it hard to see it? Yeah, it depends. I don't know. I don't think fingerprints wear out either, do they? You can use those fingerprints your whole life and they won't wear out. Isn't that amazing? Everybody has different fingerprints. You know when they start developing? Do you know when you get a fingerprint? It begins at about 8 weeks after a child is conceived. So that child begins to have the pads that will become their fingerprints at about 8 weeks. And by 6 months, by the baby time, the baby's about a foot tall, they have completely unique fingerprints, the individual to them and them alone, and compared to anybody else on this earth or in history. That child has its unique fingerprint. And fingerprints, if somebody were to have the right connections and they looked up my fingerprints, you could probably find out what my name was, who I was married to, who my kids are, where I work, where I have worked, where I live, right? What my phone number is. If somebody had the right connections, from my fingerprint, you could find out where I've lived in the past, who I'm connected with. You could find out what my social leanings are, what my religious beliefs are, what my political leanings are. All kinds of stuff you could find out these days just by knowing, having a picture of my fingerprint. Pretty interesting. As a Christian, I have a different identifier than my fingerprint. And you know what that is? It is Christ in me. I am who I am, not because of my fingerprint, but because of who lives in me. And that is Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Let's stand together. We're going to read our verse together that we're going to dig into and ask the Lord to really speak to us about the power of knowing who we are. Let's read together. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Thank you, Lord, for that powerful promise. The old has gone. The new is here. It's done. I'm a new creation. All, Jesus, because of what you did for me. My life has been changed. Lord, would you help me as we dig into your word? Would you help us to understand what that means, that I've been transferred from dead to alive, from lost to found, transferred from being a citizen of this world to a citizen of heaven. God, help us. Help us to understand how powerful this truth is. And Lord, I pray more than anything that it would transform this year for us. We don't know what's coming. But Lord, as we enter into it, we can know how we're going to walk through it as a new creation in Christ. May that truth come deeply home to us today, we pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. So setting the course for 2017, how are we going to proceed through this uncharted territory of what is next? We'll be doing it with a new kind of fingerprint. We do it through the fingerprint of the Holy Spirit, right? That really, truly is our true fingerprint. Defines who we are. This verse is so powerful. It says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." Different seal, right? "Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." We've been marked. We've been marked, haven't we? Kind of similar to the fingerprint, but so much deeper, so much deeper. You know what? Somebody could take my fingers and put them on a hot stove and burn my fingerprints right off. Would that change who I am? You just have a tough time identifying me. As a Christian, you can't eliminate what my identifier is, and that is, I am God's. I am his. Through the Holy Spirit indwelling in me, I am his. I am his. And it is a guarantee. This is something that as we walk through the unknowns, we don't have to wonder and wait and worry about what's going to happen, because I know that I walk into it with God. It's like I said, my before and after, fear was what I walked in. When I became a Christian, I knew I was loved. I didn't, what does the Bible say perfect love does? Casts out or drives out fear. When I know that God Almighty loves me and is in me, that's my that seal, that promise, God the Holy Spirit indwells me, I don't have to fear no matter what tomorrow brings, no matter what it brings. And it's my belief, my faith is in Christ. It's not my faith in a pastor. It's not my faith in a church. It's not my faith in a person. It's not even my faith in a theology. It is my faith in Christ. I have a relative in my family that was turned off from church. He had heard about a pastor who was dipping into the offerings. Well, this pastor that was guilty of that, had a brother, and the brother was the pastor of my relative's church. And somehow the same accusations were put upon this other pastor. And so my relative said, that's it, I am done. If that's what that's about, he didn't want nothing to do with church. Well, it turns out that the brother, was not guilty. It was just accusations made, and unfortunately sometimes once something comes out of your mouth, it's like toothpaste, isn't it? Can you ever put it back in? No, once you say it, be careful of your words, people. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. All right. But my relative was like, done. Never, didn't go back. Why? Because he had his eyes on what? On man, on people. You know what? People will disappoint you. Pastors will disappoint you. I will disappoint you. That's just reality. That's why you're not to put your eyes upon a person. Our eyes should be on Christ. Our eyes are on him. He is the one in whom we believe. He is the one by whom we are marked with the Holy Spirit, promised Holy Spirit. So, do you know who you are? You were what you were. Now you're born again. You're reborn as a child of God, sealed with the Holy Spirit who now dwells inside of you. How big is your fingerprint going to be this year? Is it going to be your size? Or is it going to be the Holy Spirit, God's size fingerprint? That's the choice we can have. Am I going to, because God can have, we can have all, once we put our faith in Christ, how much of the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us? Yeah, all of them. You don't get part of the Holy Spirit. You get, when you put your faith in Christ, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit always have all of us? Sometimes we take the whole, all of the Holy Spirit, and we box him away into a part of our lives. And he doesn't get to dwell in all of our lives. When that happens, our fingerprint becomes the size of the little one on top, me-sized. When we say, God, here's my life. Holy Spirit, come and be a part of every part of my life, at church, at home, at the workplace, in my neighborhood. Just fill it all. And you know what happens then? Our fingerprint becomes God-sized. We start having an impact, a God-sized impact. So set the course of this new year and determine to make God-sized fingerprints, the Holy Spirit-sized fingerprints as you walk through this year. Set the course also as an as part of a new body. When you become a Christian, knowing who I am, I'm not just an individual, I am a part of the body of Christ. This verse says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of us is a part of the body. Knowing who you are, this is who I am. I am called, it's not just a calling to do something, it is a truth of who you are. It's not something you can pick and choose of, oh, you know what, I'm not going to do so much do that, be a part of the body. You are a part of the body. And so we have all the benefits and blessings of that and the responsibilities of it as well. When you're a part of a body, you become a part of a family in the body of Christ. You're no longer walking alone. Not only is God, am I walking with God living in me, but I have a family of people. A lot of you know that my dad was in the hospital this week. He still is. It threw a curveball in my world, in my week, and my schedule. But you know what I had in the midst of that? I had a bunch of people checking in and saying, how's your dad? How's your dad doing? What's going on? I had people praying for my dad. You know what that means? When you have a family of people who don't just, you know, show up on a Sunday, but they ask. You know, Wendy planned worship today. She says, hey, can I plan worship? I'm like, oh that's right. It's Thursday. I hadn't even started planning it. I'm like, yeah, that would be awesome. Shortly after, Bob texted me from work and said, hey, anything I can help you out with, let me know. Same thing. You know, that's what being a part of the body is about. People care. They have concern. I know people that are having accountability relationships because they're one person struggling with something and another person saying, let me walk alongside you and help you with that. That's what being a part of a body together is all about. I see people giving rides to others, to the doctor because they can't make it on their own, checking in to see how other people are doing. This is what the family is supposed to be like. That's what being a part of Christ's body is about. It's powerful. That's why he uses this picture of the eye, because the eye and the hand and all the different parts of the body. The eye isn't much good on its own, is it? It kind of needs the other parts of the body. Where would it be without feet, right? Couldn't go anywhere. It could see a lot of things, but it couldn't go anywhere. The tongue kind of depends on the hand, right? I went out to dinner with Terry last night, and I could sit and look at that food, but if I didn't have a hand to put it in my mouth and cut it up, the tongue would be out of luck, wouldn't it? The mouth kind of depends on the ears, right? The mouth may want to say something, but if it can't hear anything, it makes it more difficult for the mouth to function. We can't function as one part. We're created to function as one part of many. So, do you know who you are? Do you know that you are a part of the body of Christ? And if you're attending here, you're a part of this body. And we're all called to be an active part of not just finding a ministry to serve in, although that's vital and important, being a part of people's lives. It's not just about a Sunday morning for an hour, is it? We're a family. We're a family. It's God's design was to love one another, to care for one another, to take joy in helping one another. So that's who you are. You're a part of the body. Set the course for this year, knowing that you are also a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're a temple of God. These are the truths that make us say, how am I going to live with this knowledge? How am I going to live knowing that the Holy Spirit lives in me? How am I going to live knowing that I'm a part of this body, an important part, and these other parts are all important too? How am I going to live knowing that I'm a temple? What do people do as temples? What happens in a temple? Yeah, the Lord's praise. Worship happens in a temple, right? Sacrifices happen in a temple. I am the temple. The scripture says, don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, which we just saw, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. When we get that truth, it transforms how you live. Set your course for 2017 to say, you know what? This is where the Holy Spirit lives. I'm a temple, and I will worship in this body. This body will worship, and I'm going to honor God. The reality is, we heard about it in our testimonies. You were lost, you were unloved, you were unvalued, all these things that you were before Christ. And Scripture says that we were dead, eternally separated from God. This is not just somebody's opinions. this is factual truth that we will all come to realize when we die. And we will all cross that path one day where we leave this world and enter into the next. And we will find there that the reality that Christ, the Son of God, left heaven. He left the Father's side to come into this sinful, dirty, selfish world to take the punishment of myself and your sins, all of our sins, upon himself, to suffer our judgment, to suffer our punishment. This is reality. In love, he came to rescue you and to rescue me. That was the price that was paid. It was a great price. Terrible in the sense of how much Christ had to do. All of the sins of the world, from the worst to the best, everybody's sins placed upon him. That was a powerful, incredible price. Bring it home. Stop and think of your life. None of us here are perfect. We've all fallen short. And as good as we try to live our lives, we still sin. He died for that, whatever that may have been yesterday or last week or even this morning. He died in your place for that. He came to rescue us and to honor him who gave of himself. You know what it means to honor somebody? To show a public recognition or to show respect for somebody. When somebody has done something admirable, what we want to honor them, often sometimes in public. We want to do that. We're called, I want to honor God with my life. I can do that whether somebody's looking at me or it's just me and God. I can honor him. I can make him proud. Scripture says he purchased your soul on the cross, and he's saying, honor him. Honor him in how you live. Somebody said, imitation is the sincerest form of what? Flattery, right? You can do nothing to tell somebody you appreciate what they've done for you. The best way you can do that is to imitate what they did for you and do it to somebody for somebody else, right? Honor him. Set your course for this year knowing that I've been bought with a price. I am a temple where God lives. I want this to be a holy place. I want what I do, how I treat people, to be done in a way that honors God. I want the things that I do for my fun and entertainment to be things that will honor God. I don't want to have this part of my life and then the part that I give to Jesus. I say, you know what, Lord, come with me wherever I go. I want you to be pleased with me no matter what I am or who I'm with or what I'm doing. That's honoring him. We had, Terry and I went to dinner last night at Red Lobster, and it was a half an hour before we even got breadsticks and our salad, and I'm just like going, my tip is going like this, you know, in my mind, you know, that's the German in me. But, you know, and funny, we were, you know, finally we got our food. She was being very, you know, cheery about it, but it just was really took a long time. And we're sitting there, and we're finishing our meal, and in that restaurant, the manager goes around and says, everything okay? How'd everything go? Everything was fine, you know. Well, then we see the manager over across the aisle kneeling next to somebody saying, well, I'm sorry that we were out of the mashed sweet potatoes, which I really wanted, and they were also out of the corn, which I really wanted, but so they're like, oh, I'm sorry we were out of those things. Here, let me give you a free dessert, you know. He's given his, and we saw him do that at like two different tables, you know. We're like, yeah, we could complain. We could complain about the service and probably get a freebie of some sort or another, but you know what? She's probably having a bad day. And the two tables behind us were being kind of obnoxious and getting on her case about things. We just, We let it go, you know? We decided to be Christians who don't demand, right? We just let it go. Came time to do the check, and I'm like, so I don't know, I'm talking about the tip, you know? And she's like, it's New Year's Eve. You need to do the 20. I'm like, yeah, you're right. It went against what I was planning to do, but you know what? She was right. I needed to just be a blessing and give grace and mercy to somebody who didn't really give us that good a service, quite honestly. But you know what? I decided we're going to be a blessing. We bowed our heads in prayer for the meal, and we thought, you know what? If somehow or other God gets the glory, then it was worth my tip. So we need to live as, whether it is as a parent, how do you live your life as a temple of the Holy Spirit? Are you treating your children in the way that God would call you to? Kids, teens, are you treating your parents with grace, with mercy, with understanding? Maybe your coworkers, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a neighbor. People need undeserved love, which is grace, all the time. People need mercy, undeserved favor. They're not giving people what they deserve. That's what mercy is, right? We need to sometimes just not give people what they deserve. Why? Because we've been given grace and mercy. How are you going to set your course for this coming year? It will determine how this year goes for you. You have that opportunity to determine what's this year going to be like. You may not be able to determine everything that happens to you, but what's that saying? What? Life is, I think, 90% or 10% what happens to you, and what? 90% attitude. Choose to be a person of grace and mercy. Recognize that you walk through this life as a temple of the Holy Spirit, and an example of Jesus. And lastly, as you set the course for your year, use this year to wear out a path to His presence. Why? Because He's called you to. He's told you you can, and He wants you to. This scripture verse is powerful. It says, in Him, in who? In Christ, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. If nothing else I tell you tonight transforms how you approach this next year, that truth should do it. I can approach the throne of Almighty God with freedom, with confidence. Freedom is, you know what? You might have a relationship with somebody. I feel like I have that with my wife. I can tell her anything. And I know that I'm still loved. I know that she won't ditch me. She won't be gone. She's walk with me through it, whatever it is, good and bad. I can tell her anything. I've got that type of freedom with her. God says, come to me with freedom. Don't feel fearful. Don't feel like you've got to come guarded. Come as you are, because guess what? God can see everything about you anyway, so trying to hide anything from God is kind of silly. Come with freedom. Come with freedom into His presence. And with confidence. Confidence is what? It's like a faith. It's like a trust, right? When I come to God with confidence, I'm confident that I'm loved. God's going to be real with me. He's not going to pull punches with me. He's going to tell me what I need to hear. He may even discipline me. I have confidence that He's not just going to kind of be a, I'm not sure where what I was thinking with this, but I wrote in my notes, God's not going to be a bobblehead. Okay, yep, whatever, yep. Did you ever talk to somebody who just kind of does that? And you're like, I'm not getting that you're hearing me, or that you're really telling me your opinion. You're just kind of going, yeah. You want somebody who's going to listen and speak truth to you when you need to hear it. encourage you when you need to hear it, discipline you if you need to hear it, right? You want somebody who's going to be real with you. You don't want somebody that's just going to say, well, you know, whatever. Because that doesn't help you, does it? Sometimes I need somebody, and I, speaking of my wife, sometimes I need her to confront me. Sometimes I need her to say, mm-mm, like with the tip, right? No, you just need to leave a 20% tip. All right. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes I just need to know and have that confidence that they're going to be with me to work through this, however hard it's going to be, however difficult it might be for me, or even for her. I need to know that they're going to be there to support me. You know, when you're in crisis, when you're struggling through something hard, you don't need a bobblehead, because are they going to help you? No, they're just going to, okay, yeah, mm-hmm, I hear you, mm-hmm, have a good one, take care. You want somebody that's going to say, okay, I'm hearing you. So what about this? Have you thought about that? Maybe you need to change this. I want somebody that's going to wrestle through things with me, right? We don't necessarily even need just a friend. What we need is God. We need somebody that's going to, we can have confidence in and have the freedom to share whatever, no matter what I'm going through. So, who are you? Who am I as I approach 2017? The power of knowing who I am will change how I approach everything. That's that 90% attitude. Once I recognize who I am in Christ, and I recognize, you know what? My fingerprint is Holy Spirit of God dwells in me. God is living in me. God Almighty is living in me. And I'm not alone. Even outside of God, I'm a part of a family that cares about me. That's so awesome. That's a powerful thing. When I have that and understand that, to just sometimes when we're going through troubles, isn't it good to just know when we can dump on somebody, just to know, okay, somebody else knows. Somebody else is in this with me. I'm not carrying this load alone. Isn't that a powerful thing sometimes, just to know? That can be a huge thing. That's why listening is such an important skill. Sometimes we just need to listen and say, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. And I am a temple. I am a place of worship where God resides. And this is going to change my decisions, how I live, how I treat people, the things that I do with my money, the things that I don't do with it. I am a walking place of worship. I don't just worship at church. When I walk out the door, I take church with me, right? Because I'm worshiping God wherever I go. That changes how you look at things. And as I'm walking, I can wear out a path to His presence, because He says, come with to me with freedom and confidence. Do you know who you are? I'm going to ask the worship team to come as we close. And we're going to close with this most important truth to wrap all this up. Because here's the central, most important thing that I need you to take with this. In the midst of all of this, the most important truth about it all is it's founded in a God who loves you. A very simple truth. When you know that you know that you know that you're not just worshiping an idea or a theology or a church or a pastor, it is a God who is good when? All the time. Who all the time is?
God is good.
He's good. He's good. We worship a good Father so that when I wonder about the Holy Spirit and where He's leading me, I know that wherever He's leading me, He's going to be good in how He does it and what He does. Whether it's being a part of this church family, somehow or other, God is in the midst of this. My Father God has created this family, and it's good. It's good. As I walk as one with the Spirit of God living in me and I'm trying to figure out my decisions, you know what? I've got God. I've got the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me. These are the things that will transform how we live our 2017.